this morning, say amen. Amen. It's good to hear you in such good voice. I appreciate the fact that God in His sovereign and good care has entrusted this gift to us. And pray that we will use it well and we will appreciate it as we move into the fall. Ono will begin officially with us on the 31st of August. Next week he finishes up an internship that he's been doing up in Kingsburg with our dear friend Scott Artavanus. And then he will be back with us on the 17th, playing piano on the 17th and the 24th with Ron leading, and then officially Ona will begin. We call him Ona. So that's Siona, Ona. So you can do that. That's allowed. He'll be joining us on the 31st, and so we're thanking God for his provision and for the good gift that he will be to us. Speaking of gifts, we want today to, it's the beginning of a month, and so we start a new verse for the month. And since we are in this theme of spiritual gifts, we wanted to stay within this idea of spiritual gifts in Scripture. Scripture talks a lot about spiritual gifts because they are so important to the church. It talks about them in Romans, in 1 Corinthians, Ephesians, and it also talks about them in 1 Peter. And the verse before us today, as Dale read already for us, is a very important one because it just reminds us of all the truths that we've been learning from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So I would ask that you would read this verse with me this morning, that you would take out of the seat back in front of you a card and put it in your car with you this week as you go from place to place and begin asking the question, what's the part I play in this good church? What is my place as a member here within the body of Christ? So let's start with the address. We'll read the two verses and we'll end with the address. Let's read it together, please. Romans 12, 4 and 5. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. And that's found in Romans 12, 4 and 5. As we open up this marvelous truth that we are members of one body, I would encourage you to open your Bibles with me this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 this morning. And having found yourself to that chapter, please find the 19th verse. And this morning we will be continuing in our study having to do with the body of Christ. And today we're going to see that we are Christ's body. We've already begun to see that in the communion. We see that Christ gave his body for us, that you and I might be a part of his corporate body. And this morning we're going to see Paul's analogy opened up that we began last week. I'd like to read verses 19 through 27, and this is the word of the Lord. If they were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body. And so the eye can't say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we deem less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor. And our unseemly members come to have more abundant seemliness. Whereas our seemly members have no need of it, but God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that member which lacked, so that there may be no divisions in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. One member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now, you are Christ's body and individually members of it. Lord, now as we open this powerful portion of your scripture, as we round out the analogy that Paul has been establishing for us, helping us to understand through our physical bodies and understanding that we are a spiritual body of Christ, each member working to make up one body that functions in unity but diversity. Help us to understand this. Help us as we go into the fall to reach into the riches of what this means in terms of how we are involved within our local church, how we as members are part of a greater body seeking to glorify you, equip the saints, evangelize the lost. So bring clarity to this word, bring intelligence and intellect to us as we think about what we need to. Let your Spirit do a good work in our hearts. We pray that we may walk away from here more understanding what it is you call us to be. And may the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, for you are my rock, your Son is my strong redeemer, and it is in the precious name of Jesus we ask these things. God's people said, amen. How many of you are teachers here? Raise your hand. How many of you are teachers? Look at all the teachers in our midst. It's an exciting thing, isn't it? Remember your first year? Remember your first year as a teacher, and you went into all that, and remember my first year as a high school band director. I remember it so particularly well because I would go down the hallways, and the hall monitor would ask me if I had a pass because I was all of 24 years old. I finally ended up growing kind of this rather scruffy beard just so that they would somehow think that I was a little bit more grown up. But I have a friend of mine who is just starting his first year teaching high school. And he's very excited about it. And anybody who spent any time with him at all knows exactly who he is. He just can't wait. He's going to be with the Canyon Cowboys, and he just can't wait to be teaching there. So we were talking, and I said to him, you know, I think maybe there's one way that I can help you as you prepare for your first year of high school. And maybe the way I can help you is to go back and think about some of the things that helped me have a really good first year in my high school experience. So over the summer, I've been writing for him every Friday 10 commandments for him to have a great first year at Canyon High School. And I was amazed as I was looking back on them this week and I was preparing for today, how many of them go around the importance of valuing other gifts, other members of the faculty and the team at that school. I talked to him about the custodians. I talked to him about the secretaries. I talked to him about a number of other functioning parts. And it's very interesting within a school of several thousand students like that, all the things that are taking place in the background that are necessary for him just to be able to be in his classroom and do his job. There are teaching aides and there are student aides and there are volunteer parents and security guards and administrative assistants and custodians. They all fit into the list of gifts that aren't very, very highly visible. And because they're not highly visible, often they're not greatly appreciated. And so I've been just encouraging him to appreciate the people who work within that setting. Most specifically, appreciate the custodian who cleans your room. That is a wise thing to do as a teacher. And the whole idea that I've been trying to develop for him is that appreciation is an important thing because it makes us value those things that normally we wouldn't think of. It's really easy when we start to go through things to get kind of a tunnel vision of the important things that we're doing as teachers. But we need to realize that there's a whole group of people who sometimes aren't noticed, some people who aren't necessarily appreciated, some people who have less visible jobs who are very, very important. And I was thinking to myself, if that's important within the school, it ought to be essential within the church that we ought to be people of all people who have clarity that each and every part, each and every member is essential. Each and every gift is important for us to be and do what it is that God wants us to do here in Canyon Country, California. And if anyone in the world should appreciate the gifts around us, we, by virtue of the one another's that we have in Christ Jesus, ought to be doing that together. And in this study of the spiritual gifts, it's really helpful for us to keep in mind that we must appreciate the gifts that function in, around us. And particularly, Paul is going to help us understand today those gifts that are a little bit less visible, that we be aware of this. Over the last few weeks, then, we've been studying 1 Corinthians 12 and moving through 12 through 14. We are looking at this whole doctrine of spiritual gifts. Paul has come to this, and he is answering a series of questions, really, in 1 Corinthians. And when he comes to the 12th chapter, he begins with, now concerning spiritual gifts. And he opens up for them an understanding of how valuable the spiritual gifts are and how they're being abused and disused within their church. So we've taken this as an opportunity for us to have some clarity on what spiritual gifts look like and how important they are within the local church. So just a reminder, when we think of spiritual gifts, they are nothing more and nothing less than the unique God-given ability to serve and or speak in such a way that God is glorified, believers are edified, and the lost are evangelized. And it's really essential for us to understand that when we function in our spiritual gift, those three things must be in mind. They are to be functioning for the common good of glorifying God, of edifying one another, and evangelizing the lost. And so we started with some very, very basic principles to help keep in mind what they are and how we are to use them. We call it the doctrine of spiritual gift. We just laid out 4 points. First of all, that spiritual gifts are sovereignly bestowed by the Godhead. And so because we realize that the gift that we are to the church is not only unique, but it is a gift that's given to us by the sovereignty of the very Godhead that we serve, that for us to denigrate our personal gift, for us to look down or be envious of another person's spiritual gift, or even to remain on the sidelines when we are instructed to be used within our spiritual gift, is resistance to what God has called us to be and what God has called us to do. Secondly, we saw that each and every believer in the church has and is a spiritual gift to the local church. And the miracle of salvation, the moment the Spirit of God came to indwell us, when we breathed in our first breath of salvation, we find that an amazing thing happened. We received several amazing and wonderful things. And one of those things in the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is that you and I each became a spiritual gift to the local assembly. So each of us are a gift and have been given a God-bestowed gift for the benefit of the whole of the congregation. Number three, we all saw that spiritual gifts are given for the purpose of building up fellow believers and to evangelize the lost. Spiritual gifts aren't to function in a closet somewhere. They're not to be used for our own personal benefit. Spiritual gifts are given for the common good of God's people and for the reaching out to the lost. So we need to be asking ourselves, what is my spiritual gift, unique that it is, and how can it glorify God, edify the believers that I am in the midst of, and evangelize the lost? Finally, we saw that spiritual gifts develop and are clarified through growth and practice. A lot of people kind of sit on the sideline and they say to themselves, as soon as I figure out what my spiritual gift is, then I will begin to use it. Well, we need to understand that we have it completely backwards, that we serve and we function, and through growth and practice, then we will figure out what our spiritual gift is. Part of my spiritual gifting, I did not understand at all, but my father-in-law, my pastor, understood it very early on and began to urge me into that gift. As he began to say to me, I believe that you have a teaching gift. I just said, you're nuts. There's something wrong with you. You're seeing something that's not really happening in me. And he continued to encourage me to practice and grow and use it and to be used by God. Spiritual gifts develop in the midst of ministry. So you say to yourself, I'm not sure what my gift is. And gifts are interesting because they are made up of different characteristics. And we will look at that, those as we come to the last 2 weeks of August. But we will find that you need to be careful not to shape your gift around any given one thing. Say, I have the gift of giving, or I have the gift of teaching, or I have the gift of mercy, or those sort of things. We will find that for each and every one of us, God takes a unique blending of each one of those characteristics or areas of gifting, and through that puts together a unique gifting for you that is unique as your fingerprint. So we see that the spiritual gifts develop and are clarified through growth and through practice. And so we need to move into ministries and find out if we are gifted into those areas. And then we move on to the next and we find out more and move forth from there. So those are our four opening points. Then we moved into 1 Corinthians 12 in earnest. And moving into the 12th chapter and the 12th verse, we began to see the importance of an analogy that the Apostle Paul lays out in front of us. That's a really good illustration. It's very helpful because all of us have a body. And although all of us understand that our body is made up of different parts, what Paul calls members. I found out that again. I was just reminded of it again this week. On Monday, I was out trimming some roses, and my pruners were a little bit just not working up to par. So I opened them up, I oiled it out, and while I was sharpening my pruner, I slipped and just took off the edge of my thumb. And of course, you know, it bled a little bit, and you're feeling really stupid. But then I found out something that was even worse than that. It was hard to put the pruners back together because the thumb now hurt. And so the normal things that I would be able to press with that thumb, I couldn't press with it anymore. Just that little bit of a part all of a sudden wasn't working. And then as I came into work on Wednesday, I realized I couldn't write very well because it comes right where your thumb is used on the pencil. And then as I was doing my devotions in the morning, and I always use my iPad, my wife's iPad, to do that, I understood that I couldn't scroll with my thumb with a Band-Aid on it. Did you ever know that? You probably did. I never knew that before. And the idea that you can't do it without that little part being exposed. And I thought to myself, it's a very tiny thing, but it is an important illustration. Every little part of the body of Christ is important. And if it's not used, if it's wounded, if it's not in the right spot, we find that we are the worse for it. So Paul develops this very beautiful illustration. We began to look at this last week when we look at verses 12 through 18, and we saw three very important points. First of all, he starts off with the idea is that we are one body made up of many members. That's what he talks about in verses 12, 13, and 14. He says, even as the body is one yet has many members, speaking of the physical body, he says, in the same way, we are members of one body in Christ Jesus. And he helps us understand, by one Spirit, we were baptized into one body. We might have identified before in a variety of ways. Maybe we identified as Jews, or maybe we identified as Greeks, or maybe we identified as slaves, or maybe we identified as free. But he says, in Christ, you are all one body and members one toward another. And so then he began to enhance or open up that illustration to help us understand in verses 15 through 17 that there are no unimportant parts or members of the body. So he says, just because a foot says, I'm not a hand, and therefore I'm not important, he says, isn't any the less still a part of the body? And if the ear says, because I'm not an eye, I'm not a part of the body, is it for any reason less a part of the body? And he gets the whole idea that saying, if the whole body was one piece, he says, where would we be? And so he begins to develop this idea that every single member of the body is important. Finally, in 18, he once again emphasizes this idea of the sovereignty of God in bringing the gifts into place within the church when he says, but God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body exactly as he desired. So gifts are not given by choice on our part. Gifts are not given by chance on God's part. The whole idea here is that you have been placed here with your gift set for the purpose of ministering to the body of Christ, that is, Church of the Canyons. Now today we continue, and he closes off this analogy in verses 19 through verse 27. And what we're going to see today, that we are Christ's body. We began to kind of develop that theme in communion, the fact that Jesus Christ and gave his body, came to the cross and gave his body that we might become the corporate body of Christ Jesus. And so the idea that Paul is going to develop for us is that we are members of that body, and the idea here is that we are important to the wholeness of that body. Here's the first thing he's going to share for us in verses 19 through 21. Number one, we need all the gifts. Verse 19, it says, if they were all one member, where would the body be? And he began to develop this illustration a little earlier. He said it would be useless if the whole body were an eye. It would not be helpful if the whole body were an ear or a foot or just the sense of smell. We need to understand that each and every member is an important part of the body, and none is to be denigrated and none is to be unacceptable. Verse 21, he says, the eye, therefore, cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or the head to the feet, I have no need of you. What he's trying to develop here is that we need each and every one of the gifts. Now, I find myself really grateful today, not only for your worship, but I'm also grateful today for the fact that God has seen fit to open the door to bring Siona on to be a gift to our corporate family. But even as I was sitting worshiping this morning, I was reminded of the importance of all the members functioning within the church. It's one thing to have Siona sit and play at the piano, but when he begins to add members, when he begins to add gifts to it, it just gets better and better. It gets fuller and fuller. So when you add a cello to it, it gets deeper. When you add keys to it, it gets better. When you add a guitar to it, it gets fuller. When you get a drummer with it, then you have better rhythm. When you have a bass player and a singer, all these things come together, and the gift, the part, becomes more what it would needs to be than it would if it were just functioning on its own. But that's not the end of it. That's just the beginning of it, because what is also happening then is that those gifts are beginning to function, and then the fullness of the body begins to respond. And as we respond, as you did in worship this morning, then all of a sudden we who are many become one who are worshiping. And it's a lovely thing to see, because it is not dependent on who has the greatest voice or who is able to sing in tune or any of those sort of things. The members up here, the parts up here that are leading us in voices of praise that lift up to God for the purpose of glorifying God, edifying one another, and saying to ourselves, this is what it means to reach up and reach in and reach out to the lost. Now, I pray that as you walked, as you sat down after that worship experience, you said, that was beneficial. That was something, as I came out of that, I said, that was edifying to my soul. I'm better right now than I was when I walked in here, because I worshiped with the saints of God. And the parts coming together to make that whole function in a beautiful way is exactly what Paul is saying. He says, we can't say we don't need this, we don't need this, we don't need this. We need every part functioning, and in this case, we need them functioning in a beautiful way that we all function together. So he says, the eye can't say to the hand, I have no need of you, or the head to the feet, I have no need of you. So we need all the gifts. Now, the next thing that he does is he talks about the importance of honoring the less visible gifts. And I found this really interesting as I was studying it, because as I mentioned in my opening introduction, in the high school setting, in the local school, there's a lot of members functioning behind the scenes. And in the same way here in the local church, there's a lot of members functioning behind the scenes. But I think it's important, we're going to see in these verses, that we figure out ways to bring honor to them. I went to, I'd never done it before, so this past July 4th, I incorporated into my morning walk, I decided that I would go down and see the Newhall July 4th parade. And it's a little family parade. It's kind of fun. It reminds me of the days when I lived in little tiny Hebron, Indiana. And it started off, I made it there about 9 o'clock. I think it started at 9 o'clock. And I was right on the corner of Old Orchard where it was coming to a conclusion. And so I look down and I see the fife and drum corps coming on. That's a good way to start a parade. So you got the fife and drum corps, and then behind that you have the military honor guard. July 4th, that ought to happen. And then behind that we had all kind of the important people, the convertible cars with the dignitaries in it. You know, doing the proverbial hand wave that they always do. We started with a grand marshal, which was kind of a nice thing, and then our mayor was in a horse-drawn carriage, and it was nice to see her. And then Bob Keller was on a horse, and so he went past. And I'm sure there were many other dignitaries that I didn't know. And I was appreciative, and I appreciate our city council and the work that they do, and the mayor and the work that she does, and all those things. I was glad to see. But I was just thinking about it this week. Is those are very visible people, but there's a lot going on behind the scenes that kind of never makes it into the public eye. For instance, I didn't see in that parade a car carrying a guy with a banner that said Joe Normal who pays taxes. It just doesn't happen, does it? There's Joe Normal. Hi, happy to see you. And he's holding his empty wallet out there, you know. You know, just so glad to be here today. He didn't make it. I also noticed that there was a mom, and she had three little kids. I think all of them were probably under the age of six. She must have gotten up pretty early that morning because she had them all dressed in red, white, and blue. And she'd done little face painting on all of them with stars and stripes. And I was thinking to myself, that lady had to get up pretty early with probably some gnarly kids early in the morning to get them all dressed up to be here and be right on the curb for the parade. There should be a car for her. There should be a little convertible. When a typical mom in Santa Clarita who does all the behind-the-scenes stuff, and everybody would be applauding over all that took place. There was, of course, the guy cleaning up behind the horses, but I didn't see any banner with his name on it. And that's the way it is in the world, isn't it? That's the way it is in the world, is that those people who are functioning in the background, Joe average citizen, who just get up every day and are law-abiding and go to work and do those right things, they're not the visible gifts of the city. And in the church, I understand that that's how it functions in the world system, but I think that every now and then, we need to remind ourselves that there's some really great gifts that are functioning behind the scenes, and we should pull back the curtain and take a little peek and spend the time to say thank you to those people. I love the way Paul puts it here. He says, on the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body, which seem to be weaker, are necessary. And he's got it just right. I like the way the NLT puts it. It says, in fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. There's one man here, and a few of you may know who he is, but he shows up here like clockwork about 7:40, 7:40, 45. You can set your watch on it on Sunday morning. First thing he does is make sure the air conditioning is on. Second thing he does is he goes around and opens all the classrooms. The third thing that he does is he goes and makes sure that all the bulletins are ready. And if anything needs to be stuffed into the bulletins, he and another sweet lady, they stuff all those sort of things. And he just walks around and makes sure everything is ready for us to worship in the morning. You know what? Nobody asked him to do that. Nobody had a little list of the guy who opens up the morning, and he just decided to put his name on the list. He just kind of said, that needs to be done. I'm going to do that. And as far as I know, he's been doing it for, I don't know, the last 14 or 15 years at the very, very least. And he does it humbly. He does it without asking for any praise. He does it just because it needs to be done. And it makes it easier for us to come together and worship. And there's dozens and dozens of those types of gifts that are functioning behind the scene. And he says that those gifts that are the gifts in the background, those are the gifts that we need to protect. Those are the gifts that we need to take care of. And every now and then, it's probably a good idea to give them some thanks. Now, what Paul talks about here is three kind of things that are not usually brought to the surface. First of all, he uses the word weaker in verse 22. And weaker simply means someone who has a capacity that is somewhat limited. In other words, it's not in front. It's not the one who gets paid. It's not the person who's on staff. It's just a person who functions in the background. And in the next verse, he talks about those things that are less honorable. And the idea there is those people who are not normally honored. And the third thing he talks about in the end of that verse is those people who are unseemly. And that simply means people who aren't normally presented. And he says, on the contrary, it's much truer that the members of the body, the ones who are in the background, who function in a limited capacity, those members of the body which we deem less honorably and maybe not something that would normally be honored, he says, to these we bestow more abundant honor, and on our unseemly members, those things that are not normally presented, he says, we find them to be more seemly. Whereas, he says, our seemly members, they need no honor. Now, what he is simply saying here is helping us understand that we are to take care of, we are to minister to, we are to make sure that we are protecting those gifts who are behind the scene. Just go back to the baptism last Sunday evening. We showed up at 5:30 and everything was ready to go. The music was playing and the water in the pool was clean and there was a lifeguard on duty and the pig was cooking and the tables were set up and the certificates for the baptizees were typed and the pink pig pinata had been purchased. Have you ever seen such a big pinata in your entire life? And it's totally stuffed with goodies and the testimonies have been prepared and the salads and desserts were ready and the hot dogs were on the grill and all that happened between 12:30 and 5:30 and nobody saw those people who were doing all those sort of gifts. And all that stuff was happening in the background, but think about what the baptism would have looked like if any of those things were forgotten or not taken care of. Think about what Sunday morning would look like if our fine people in the back of the room didn't get here early, make sure the lights were functioning, make sure this was working, make sure that all the sound was in place. All those things are essential. All those things are in the background. All those things are so very, very important. And every now and then, we just need to remind ourselves of that. And one thing I really appreciated is the MC at the time of fellowship just spent some time giving thanks for those people. Let's hear it for the guy who cooked the pig. And everybody went, yay, 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 yay. And let's hear it for the person who did this. And let's hear it for the person who did that. And she didn't do that because we had written her a list and said, now make sure you do this so those people don't get offended. She did that because that's what we do in the one another's. We appreciate one another. And every now and then, we need to appreciate the people who are normally kind of undercover, who are behind the scenes. Verse 24, he says, whereas our seemly members have no need of it. In other words, what they're simply saying is the people who stand up in front get that a lot. And so don't forget to give some honor and some thankfulness to the people who are behind the scenes. This is a very generous group of people. There's hardly a week goes by that someone doesn't say something kind to me by way of a Facebook or email or a written card or just drop it in my office for a time of prayer. And I want you, I appreciate that. I don't want you to stop doing that because that's an encouragement to all of our staff. But I want us to think about the fact that we've got all these gifts who are functioning in the background. Look for them, appreciate them, protect them, and serve them. So we need all the gifts. We honor the less visible gifts. And when we do that in a proper way, when we treat the gifts properly, according to verses 25 and 26, two rather wonderful things happen. Number one, division is eliminated. Look what happens. So that there may be no schisms, is actually what it says, no splitting apart, no dividing of the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. In other words, we're saying to ourselves, I appreciate every single member and gift that functions here. I'm going to go out of my way to share with them my appreciation. Secondly, we put ourselves in a place where all the members are cared for. In other words, the more we understand the gifts that are functioning, the more we see the things that are happening behind the scenes, we put ourselves in a position where we can say, when that person is suffering, we are there around them. When that person is honored, we are there to surround them. And the idea being is because we're Christ's body, we look at and appreciate all the parts, all the gifts, all that we are in Christ. And when we treat the gifts properly, we get healthier and healthier and healthier. And that's where we're headed as we move into the end of August. As I mentioned, in the last 2 weeks of August, we will look carefully at the spiritual gifts. And we will ask ourselves, what's the part you as a member play in the body? And together we will learn and think and share about how we as a body can be stronger together corporately because of the part that each and every member plays. Well, let's just bow our head in prayer, and we're going to ask the worship team if they'll come forward. And I just want to close out our time. Let's bookend our time together with, we started off with the glory and the greatness of being a members of the body of Christ and what Christ did for us. I want us to end up by thinking about what a magnificent thing it is that Christ died for us, and that having been saved, we become part of his body. And then how he took these broken vessels and he put inside them treasures of spiritual gifts for the purpose of glorifying God. And I want us to just rejoice in that as we come to the end today. Father, we do thank you for this church, for the gifts that inhabit it, for the members that make this body strong. We pray that you'll make us stronger as we go into the fall. We thank you for the gifts that are unified but yet so diverse. And as we think in closing about this, the grace that has been given to us, that brought us into salvation and gifted us for service, may we do so with hearts that are joyful as we think of who we are because of what your Son did. We do ask this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.